The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to episode 39 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I'm Stephen Mill, he's Ewan Cameron, how you doing?
Hello Aberdeen fans.
I mean, you've just spent the last week trolling Aberdeen fans. And there's lots of them so angry with you.
It's great banter. I'm loved every second of it. Are we getting Ali Begg on the show?
We're getting Ali Begg on the show. So if you don't know who Ali is, big Aberdeen fan, he joins us on the Big Saturday Football Show to cover Aberdeen matches. And yeah, him and Ewan get on famously well.
But we're a team, you and I, right? This podcast is something that we've worked on for 39 shows.
Yes.
I wasn't consulted about Ali Begg appearing on the programme today. Why do you make decisions out with a conversation with me?
Because it's funny.
No. Yeah. But the thing is though, Stephen, this is a partnership. This is a team. We discuss what we're going to do on the podcast. You just can't go and make decisions based on something that you want to do without consulting me. And if you don't consult me, then I might not like what we're going to do in the podcast. And I'm not that best pleased that you have invited Ali Begg onto the programme to talk about Aberdeen winning 2-0 yesterday and going 5 points clear of Hearts.
It's good to get an Aberdeen perspective because you would not have provided that. I'm not an Aberdeen fan, so like we need some sort of balance on
okay.
So anyway, it was a big weekend in the SPFL. Top six and bottom six are now locked in. Both Celtic and Rangers dropping points over the weekend, and we crowned another league champion as well. We'll go through all the games and we'll look ahead to this weekend's big Scottish Cup semi-finals at Hampden.
Quiz question for you, and we don't need an answer right now. This is one for you, producer Chris, to do some research on. So both Rangers and Celtic didn't win at the weekend. When did that last happen?
Interesting. Very interesting.
Good question that. Not obviously when they play each other and they draw, forget that, but out with the playing each other, when did Rangers and Celtic in the same weekend not win a game?
That's a good question. Good luck with that, Chris.
Any idea, Stephen, off the top of your head, can you think of any time that happened? Did it happen this season?
Are we counting European games?
No, just
league games.
Just European games.
I mean,
mate, you're still on probation.
When was the last time Celtic and Rangers both won a European game? That's probably a better question for you. So anyway, yeah.
We'll find out.
We'll find out by the end of the show. And as I said, we'll look ahead to the big Scottish Cup semi-finals. We have Falkirk versus Inverness on Saturday, and then, of course, Celtic versus Rangers on Sunday. Plus, we'll go through your shouts for if Scottish football was an island. We'll set up this week's one as well. And make sure you subscribe to the Big Scottish Football Podcast, wherever you're listening. You can find us on Twitter. We're at Big Football Scott, at Big Football Scott, and we're also on Instagram and Facebook as well. Just search for the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Right, where would you like to start, Ewan Cameron?
Just start in order.
Okay,
we'll start. Do Aberdeen Rangers last.
Okay, that's fine then. So let's start. Hearts 6, Ross County 1 on Saturday lunchtime. It was a demolition from the Jambos. Ross County, big problems were there. We'll get to that in a wee second, but from a Hearts point of view, Ewan Cameron, you must be chuffy because, I mean, yous have been rotten recently, and then that's bouncing back in style.
What did he do on Saturday that I've been screaming for the last 4 months?
Played three at the back.
4-2-3-1. What did he do on Saturday? Played a 4-2-3-1. I've been screaming for it. Devlin and Haring protecting the back four. You've got Ginelli. You've got Shankland. You had Barry Mackay. Oda got a run and he was superb as well, caused all sorts of problems. I was delighted for Stephen Naismith and I was delighted for the Hearts players because they were actually playing in a team that was played to their strengths and what they can offer on the pitch. That 3-5-3, 4-5-6, whatever thing that Nielsen was doing just wasn't working. So yes.
Do you know what you're turning into?
We're back. What am I turning into?
Remember Mike Bassett, England manager, with Ricky Tomlinson?
Uh-huh.
And there's a bit where he says, we'll play 4-4-fucking-2. You're Ewan Cameron, Scotland manager. That's what it is. We'll play 4-2-3-1, mate. That's all it is.
It was 6 going on 10. I thought Hearts were excellent. We had pace, we had energy. We got in their faces. We didn't give them a chance to breathe. I thought we were outstanding. Yes, you could say it was the bottom team in the Scottish Premier League, but you still got to beat them. And the way Hearts had been playing up until that point was poor. Hopefully it's a sign of things to come, And hope it's not too little too late.
Lauren Shankland scoring his 25th goal of the season on Saturday. Or, well, he's actually 23rd, 24th and 25th
yes.
goal on Saturday. Are Hearts going to keep a hold of him in the summer?
I mean, we all know he's a Rangers man. Rangers are looking for a striker, and there are rumours flying around that they have inquired about the availability of Shankland in the summer. Now, Hearts are in a really strong position financially, where they don't now need to bend over a barrel and just take whatever Rangers or Celtic give them, like what happened in the past. So if Lauren Shankland is to go in the summer, then Hearts are going to be looking for anything upwards of £3.5 million. Don't even knock on our door unless you're paying us anything in excess of £3.5 million. And not only are you going to pay us that money, but there's going to be add-ons as well.
Ross County, are they knackered?
It's not looking good for them, is it, as we get through the other fixtures? I mean, they're 4 points adrift now at the bottom of the table, and you've got Dundee United and Kilmarnock, who will get to great results. You've got a feel for Malcolm Mackay in that squad. It might just be the year that they go down.
4 points adrift, as Ewan said, and one of the reasons for that is Kilmarnock's first away win of the season in the league, and it was an impressive one. 2-0, fully deserved against St Mirren. It was a sellout at Paisley as well. It was billed as the big day for St Mirren getting into top six, which of course they did do, but
they must have been shitting themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to think of a nicer way to put that.
They
there,
must have been. See, when it was 2-0 Kilmarnock and Dundee United were only winning by a goal to nil against Livingston, I mean, they must have been really worried. If Livingston got back into that game, then it'd have been squeaky bum time. But look, they did all their hard work ahead of the game against Kilmarnock. And it was brilliant.
Yeah, beating Livingston 3-0 yes. as well recently as yeah. well, which is huge. Obviously a huge result. So congratulations to St Mirren, making the top six for the first time since 1984-85 when they finished fifth in
Unbelievable.
The league.
Stephen Robinson, I take my hat off to you. I bow to your fantastic achievement this season and getting St Mirren into the top six. Manager of the year for me. He's up there with Ange Postecoglou for the job that he's done.
You reckon?
Oh, Ange Postecoglou will win the manager of the year. Stephen Robinson will get second spot.
Okay. Kilmarnock, on the other hand, their first away win since beating Dundee United in the Scottish Cup on the 11th of February, but in the league, it's their first away win this season, and
much
it could
needed.
Have come at a better yeah. time.
Much, much needed. Massive result that for Derek McInnes, especially with what happened at Tynecastle. And what happened at Tynecastle will have actually boosted Kilmarnock yeah. and the likes of St Johnstone and Motherwell and Kilmarnock, etc. So, yeah, that was huge for them.
Also making the top six are Hibs after a 1-1 draw against St Johnstone at the weekend. Stevie May giving the home side the lead with an overhead kick. What was David Marshall doing? Not entirely sure what's going on there, to be honest
with
you.
He slapped about a lot this season.
Yeah, exactly. But Stephen McLean did go on to say, if it wasn't for David Marshall, we'd be sitting with 3 points. So he came up with some big saves in the second half.
He did, but that was a poor goal to lose.
It was.
You've got to fear for St Johnstone now, who I think themselves have found themselves in a relegation battle because of that result. And not to take advantage of Hibs when they were down to 10 men. But fair play to Hibs. And we'll get to VAR, WTF, very, very soon. With former top flight referee Des Roach, we'll talk about that Jago sending off. But fair play to Hibs, they held on and they got the 1-1 draw.
Yeah, and that confirms their spot in the top six. St Johnstone, they are ninth on 33 points. They're only 2 points in front of Dundee United and Kilmarnock now, and only six in front of Ross County. Remember, they've all to play each other after the split, obviously. Elsewhere, Livingston missing out on the top six, and Dundee United making it 3 wins in a row, 2-0 winners at Tannadice. Jamie McGrath, Stephen Fletcher with the goals, both very good finishes yeah. as well. And, you know, as we said about St Mirren on Saturday, the hard work was done before their match on yeah. Saturday. Livingston's failings came before Saturday as
Correct.
Well.
Correct. Yeah, they were already looking like as if they'd already burst.
Their bubble was burst for the top six.
That's very good.
Yeah.
I was talking about a burst tyre. I was thinking burst tyre. You're thinking a burst bubble? Bubble burst?
Yeah, bubble bursting. Mm. Yeah, I suppose.
Because if your tyre bursts, it's not good either.
Would you know how to change a tyre?
My wife does. My wife does.
You know what?
I don't.
I have changed 3 tyres on my car before. Not all at the same time. I know how to do it now. It's actually relatively straightforward.
But is it?
Yeah. It genuinely is. Yeah.
You see, crank it up.
Crank it up, and then you need to get the bolt that's the key
that's in your glove compartment.
Exactly. Then you need to take that bit off, and you need the wee twisty thing that goes round.
And then you stand on it to tighten it, don't you?
Exactly. Uh-huh. But that's at the end. That's you put the new tyre back on.
Yes. Yeah. So do you have a tyre in the back of your car?
I don't at the moment.
Because
I've used it.
So what if you burst a tyre now?
Oh, well, I'd be knackered. You'd be knackered.
Because I don't have a tyre in the back of my car. So what would I have?
You might have an emergency tyre.
No, I don't have a tyre.
No, but it might be underneath the boot.
I don't have it. I've looked.
All right, okay.
So maybe there's a gel thing. You know how you can get some gel things to put in the back of your car?
I've got a wee pump in the back of the car as well.
You've had a wee pump in the back of the car?
No, I've got a wee pump in the back of the car.
Oh, I was going to say, was that the reason why your tyre was flattened?
No, it wasn't. Strong suspension on the car, obviously.
I've been in your car, it isn't a strong suspension.
But you know what I've actually started doing? See, when you go to get your tyre replaced, and they go, well, Mr. Cameron, we have the high-grade tyres, and they're £240, and you're like, just give me the cheapest one.
75 quid.
Or we've got the medium-range tyres, which are 160. Just give me the cheapest one. Or we've got the budget tyres, which are 65 quid. I'll take the 65 quid.
Right. So
who goes for the expensive ones?
Okay. So in the long run, are you not spending more money by getting the cheaper option? Because they do say you pay for what you get.
That's a sort of old adage, is it not, about rich people's shoes.
Okay, right. So
the rich man can afford the expensive shoes, and he only needs to replace them once every 10 years, whereas the poor man can't afford the rich man's shoes, so buys new shoes every year, but it costs him more.
So is there no truth in that then?
Well, yeah, there probably is truth in it.
Right,
yeah,
so why would you not just sort of like pay for the more expensive tyre so you're not continually changing the budget tyre?
Because
the tread will go down quicker because of a poorer quality.
It's nothing to do with what
could be breaking a law if the tread is like way down and it's going smooth.
No, I get
if you've got a bald tyre, you're going to get done. You're going to get 3 points, you're going to get a fine.
The most frequent thing to cause me to change my tyre is not the tread, it's getting like a nail in it or something like that.
But
or,
would an expensive tyre repel that nail?
Probably not. No.
Well, it's made of a better material.
I have no idea. I'm not a tyre expert. But what I would say is, you know what I've started doing? There's a place just around the corner for here that does part-worn tyres. And actually,
they're selling part-worn tyres?
Yes, and you're better getting part-worn tyres unless you're getting four new tyres. Because if you have one new one and three ones that are running down, then actually the tread on the new one will wear down unevenly. And that means that you won't get as much out of your new tyre.
But how are they allowed to sell a part-worn tyre?
Because
so they're taking a good tyre off a car.
Say a car's went for scrap.
And the tyre's all right.
But the tyres are fine. They'll take the tyres and then they'll put them on my car.
And then make a wee bit of money from that.
And do you know how much they charge me? £30.
For a part-worn tyre?
£30 for a part-worn tyre.
But how often do you do that then?
Well, twice. I've had nails in my tyre.
Yeah, again, but if you had an expensive tyre, then it might have bounced off the tyre.
I don't think that's how it works, Ian. I honestly don't think that's how
it works.
But
it's quality over quantity, isn't it?
No, because I've had expensive tyres before.
I think an expensive tyre is a bit like Superman. You fire a bullet at him, it's going to bounce off him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a nail does with an expensive tyre.
And a less expensive tyre is like, I don't know, a more rubbish superhero.
Yes, like Spider-Man.
Spider-Man's a good superhero. He's probably mid-range.
No, but he can be hit by a bullet. But he's very quick.
Batman.
If there's a hail of bullets,
yeah,
then it's very difficult to dodge them all.
You're changing the goalposts now.
But if you were facing an army of guys with guns, and you fired 300 bullets at Spider-Man, he ain't going to dodge them all, is he?
He's very quick. He's got his spidey web and all that.
I'm not sure he's that quick in his spidey.
He would just and then he would go away.
Oh, fly it, over the soldiers.
Exactly. He could just go for building to building.
All right, okay.
So, I'm trying to think of a rubbish superhero. Who's the worst superhero?
Aquaman's all right. If somebody
shoots him, what's he going to do? Swim away. Can he swim away if
but
you're
you can't
not
fight. You can't fire a gun under the water. Can you fire a gun under the water?
Aye, but that's if you take the gun underwater.
But you can't fire it.
What about if it gets harpooned?
But you can fire a harpoon under the water.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
I'll tell you who's a rubbish superhero. Who's the guy that's got the arrows in the Marvel movies?
Hawkeye.
He's rubbish.
Jeremy Renner.
I mean, you look at the Marvel.
He's tremendous at archery, though.
Right. Look at the Marvel Avengers, right? So you're getting cast from Marvel Avengers. You could be any one of those amazing superheroes. We want you to be the worst, Hawkeye. You're going to be hurt.
I'm sure when he gets paid $15 million after doing the film, he won't be hurt.
Scarlett Johansson's not a great one either. What's the part she plays?
Black Widow.
See, I'm not a fan of Black Widow and Hawkeye. Those are the two most rubbish superheroes ever. You want to be Thor. You want to be Iron Man. You want to be the Hulk.
So they're the budget tires.
Hawkeye and Black Widow.
And
Iron Man is your premium tire.
Okay. And it finished Dundee 92, Livingston 0 on Saturday. Elsewhere, it was Celtic 1, Motherwell 1. Cal McGregor with a deflected shot, giving the presumptive champions the lead. They had won 15 games in a row against Motherwell, and it's the end of a 17 game winning streak, the longest since Jock Stein was in charge in 1968. Is that home or is that in total?
Total. Right. Celtic fans were raging at the weekend. Did you see that?
I did see. Like, obviously, there was a lot of chat about Motherwell, time wasting, and all the rest there. And I saw lots and lots of, there was other Celtic podcasts and stuff that were moaning their chops off about it. And I was just like, well, what do you expect?
Exactly. I watched Arsenal versus Liverpool at Anfield, and Arsenal were time wasting after 33 minutes. Mm-hmm. You do what you have to do to get the result, and nobody expects Motherwell to get a result at Parkhead. Fair play to them.
There was also,
they didn't break any rules or any laws. They were just very good at slowing the game down.
There was another article written by a Celtic blog saying that Motherwell's performance was, quote, everything that was wrong about Scottish football. I mean, not to mention the fact that Celtic have played no players under the age of 21 this season who are Scottish. I would suggest that probably has a bigger impact than Motherwell just taking the ball into the corner, to be honest with you. So
That's a bigger problem for Scottish football, yeah.
Of course it is. Anyway,
good one.
1-1 it finished on Saturday. Didn't obviously matter because Celtic ended up extending their lead at the top of the table to 13 points because Rangers couldn't beat Aberdeen yesterday. And joining us on the line now, we have, from the Big Saturday Football Show, Ali Begg. How you doing, Ali? You okay?
How is his face tripping this morning? That's all I want to know. Is it tripping like it's never tripped before?
I mean,
and to be honest with you, after your nonsense at the weekend, you deserve nothing less, my boy.
I mean, Ewan Cameron is not a happy boy. I mean, if you didn't hear the Big Saturday Football Show on Saturday, you're listening to Super Scoreboard. I mean, it was a rant and a half, both from you, Ali, to be fair, as well, on the Aberdeen side of things, which is totally fine. And then the retort from Ewan Cameron was quite something special. You can head over on our socials. We'll retweet it from the podcast page so you can hear it. But Ali, just in terms of the football right now, it was everything that you said you wanted from the performance yesterday, wasn't it?
Oh, it was just a fantastic performance, particularly in the second half. I was a bit worried about the first half because I felt they just enjoyed far too much possession. We were giving them too much time on the ball. And then in the second half, we just changed it around completely. Pataudry was like a Pataudry of old. Everybody was up. Everybody was getting behind the boys. It was a magnificent second half performance. And you know what? We absolutely deserve to win that game, and we could have won it by more.
You didn't deserve to win it.
Can I just say,
Ali,
you need to stop commenting about Aberdeen Football Club, because you continually get it wrong.
No,
Ewan.
I don't. No, I don't.
When are you ever going to learn?
No, I don't.
Stop commenting about Aberdeen.
I don't get it wrong.
You're your own mob, and it will be so much better for you.
May I look at things objectively? I don't have the blinkers on.
You
clearly have the blinkers on. No, you do. You have the blinkers on. You're saying that you should have won that game and you deserve to win it, etc. And you could have gone on, and I quote, won it more comfortably. Did you watch that first 25, 30 minutes when Rangers had a shot cleared off the line? They hit the post.
Does it matter?
They also missed a couple of sitters as well. No, but you didn't win
it
comfortably. You know,
the result matters.
And then the opening goal.
We won 2-0.
Mate,
we took our chances. They didn't. That is all that matters at the end of the day.
The opening goal was a fluke, and there's also debate around the second goal being offside.
You're clutching.
I mean, I think you do give the benefit of the doubt to the attacking player, but I could have seen why they would have given an offside there from Miowski's second goal, and the scales cross went into the back of the net.
You're just spewing because, and I quote, Aberdeen will not beat Rangers on Sunday. End of quote.
You did say that. You did say that.
I said that last Monday because I was hurting after losing to Hibs, and that we didn't close the gap on Aberdeen. When I thought about it and I looked at it in the cold light of day, I did say on Friday, I also said on the big Saturday football show, and I also tweeted I expected Aberdeen to get something from the game, which they did. But I'm going to tell you this right now, Ali Beg, and mark my words on this, okay? Write this down. Take a copy of the podcast and play it over to yourself, because Hearts will still finish third. We will beat you to third spot. That is a guarantee. I am telling you that right now on the podcast today. Enjoy your moment in sunshine, my friend, but it ain't going to last much longer.
So you're still sticking to that, Ewan?
Hearts will finish third.
Despite the fact that Hearts have
it's irrelevant.
A 5-point disadvantage.
It's irrelevant, because see, when the split fixtures come out, Aberdeen have got 2 home games. Hearts have got 3 home games.
Ewan,
if Hearts
need to win 2 games.
But who are you beating?
To win 2 games.
Who are you beating?
You need to win 4 games.
Who are you beating? Who are you beating?
We'll beat Rangers. We'll beat Celtic. We'll beat Hearts. We'll beat St Mirren. We'll beat Hibs. We'll beat the Lobby.
Have you not seen Aberdeen's recent form? They're beating everyone, Ian. Come on. You know, in all seriousness, Ali Beg, you couldn't have foreseen this a few months ago. I mean, think of the Darvel performance,
yeah.
The Hearts performance, the Hibs performance that led to Jim Goodwin getting the punt. I mean, if somebody would have told you then, you'd be red-hot favourites to finish third place, guarantee European group stage football next season, you'd have just laughed your head off.
Honestly, I cannot believe the turnaround in our fortunes. Everybody has come together after what happened against Darvel. The club took a stance. They made a very brave decision. It was the only decision they had to make. I wish it hadn't taken them a week to do so, but they had to get rid of Jim. Bringing in Barry was brave. And Barry needs to take so many plaudits for what he has done in terms of galvanising the boys, galvanising the football club, getting us together as a club, and letting everybody that is on that playing staff know exactly what it means and what it takes to play for Aberdeen Football Club. And at this stage, right now, as we speak, give him the job. He deserves it. He's earned it.
Aye, very good.
Right, Ali, I'm sure we'll have you on before the end of the season, especially if Aberdeen can stretch the lead in third place.
No, it's not happening.
You'll definitely be back on in that case. But we'll let you go just now. Thanks very much for coming on and angering Ewing so much, all right?
Take care.
Love you, my man. Take care.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
So there he goes, Ali Beg there. And yes, we also, during that, producer Chris has been hard at work.
Yes, he has been.
In terms of when's the last time both Celtic and Rangers didn't win of a weekend?
We have an answer.
What is the answer?
Give me that over here, mate.
Could you not remember it?
So the last time that Celtic and Rangers at the same time, in the same weekend, didn't win a game was on the 27th of February, 2022. So just over a year ago. It was Hibs 0, Celtic 0 at Easter Road, and Rangers 2, Motherwell 2. Do you remember when Rangers started to implode when they were going for the league title? And that was one of those games where they were 2-0 up, and then Motherwell came back to draw 2-2.
Okay.
So that was it.
Championship, Friday night. Ayr United 0, Queen's Park 0. Queen's Park missing the chance to go top of the table. Ayr stay 5th, a point behind Partick Thistle in the playoff position. We'll get to the big game on Saturday, which was Inverness-Cali 1, Dundee 1. Inverness keep their unbeaten run going ahead of next week's semi-final, and Dundee go a point clear at the top of the table. Lyle Cameron opening the scoring for Dundee, and then Austin Samuels levelling for Inverness-Cali. And so that means that Inverness's unbeaten run continues. Dundee are a point clear at the top. Dundee's two remaining fixtures, Cove Rangers at home on Friday night. And then the final weekend of the season, that's all on the Friday night, it's Queen's Park against Dundee. So is it going to go down to that, though?
I don't think it is. And I said this on the big Saturday football show. I think that the league is over this weekend. Dundee beat Cove Rangers to go 4 points clear. That piles the pressure on Queen's Park, who then have to go to Morton on the Saturday. And Morton themselves have got a lot to play for, because they themselves are trying to get themselves into the playoff positions. And I don't think that Queen's Park beat them. Even if Queen's Park get a draw and they're 3 points going into the final game of the season, Dundee's superior goal difference means that this league will be over. I know not mathematically, but it will be over. So I think it's done and dusted, and the final game of the season will not matter a jot.
So Friday night, Dundee play Cove Rangers. Cove Rangers beat Arbroath away on Saturday by a goal to nil. A massive, massive win for them, because at the bottom of the championship, oh yeah boy. So you've got Cove Rangers on 30, Hamilton on 30 points. They could only get a point against Partick Thistle, despite the fact they were leading going into stoppage time. So it finished 2-2 there. So Hamilton are on 30 points. They've only got one game left, Hamilton, as well. And Arbroath are on 33 points. And Arbroath, they take on Partick Thistle on Saturday. Yeah. That's going to be a big game at Fir Hill. And then the week after that, it's Arbroath versus Hamilton, the final game of the season. Is it going to come down to that? Or...
yes.
Will Arbroath get something at Thistle on Saturday? And
no.
That means it's pretty much done.
No, I think...
a point for Arbroath means that they can't finish below Hamilton. If they get that on Saturday...
so for me, I think Cove Rangers will be relegated. They won't get anything against Dundee at Dens Park on Friday night.
Okay.
I think that the best that Arbroath can hope for, again, because Partick Thistle themselves are trying to get themselves into the playoff, is the best they can hope for is a draw. Which means it will come down to the final game of the season, which is Arbroath versus Hamilton. And it'll be between those two for the playoff position in regards to the relegation dogfight. But I think Cove are gone, despite their result at the weekend.
Okay, okay. Elsewhere, what are you thinking of the playoffs then? So this is a situation. Obviously, Dundee and Queen's Park are on 59 and 58. You've got Inverness on 55. They've only got one game left. They're in third place. Partick Thistle in fourth on 53 points. They've got two games remaining. Ayr United on 52, again two games remaining. And Morton, they're on 51 with two games remaining. So are we saying Inverness in the playoffs? Yes.
Yes.
So it's three teams for one place. Partick Thistle, Ayr United or Morton, 2 points separating the three of them. Who's getting the final place?
Partick Thistle, for me, will get that final spot, because I think they beat Arbroath at home on Saturday, and I think that might just be enough to get them over the line.
Okie dokie, that is the prediction of Ewan Cameron. So
so put your money on Arbroath.
Best wishes to Ayr and Morton, of course, who will be in the playoffs, if that's anything to go by. Right, let's move on to League One then. And it was 1-1 between Dunfermline and Airdrie on Saturday. Dunfermline finishing the game with 9 men. Doesn't matter because we're champions though. Alloa 1, Falkirk 4. So a morale boosting win for John McGlynn and his men heading into the semi-final this weekend. And that means Falkirk secure second place in League 1, the big one that they wanted this season. FC Edinburgh 2, Celtic Hearts 2. A big one up at Peterhead at the weekend. It was Peterhead versus Clyde. Peterhead were leading for most of that match, but Clyde equalised with just a few minutes to go, and that pretty much secures the relegation playoff spot for them. They can't catch Kelty. They're 16 points behind Kelty, but they are now 5 points ahead of Peterhead. Peterhead really needed to win on Saturday, and they are 5 points adrift, so they need to win both the remaining fixtures and hope Clyde lose both of theirs. And I don't think that's going to happen. Peterhead's goal difference, by the way, is minus 62.
How many?
Minus 62. They've conceded 79 goals and they've only scored 17.
Oh, that's awful.
That's quite bad.
That is
bad. So yeah, it looks like Peterhead are heading for League 2 after that late equaliser for Clyde on Saturday, and Jim Duffy will take his men into the playoffs. In League 2, congratulations finally to Stirling Albion. They have won the league under Darren Young. I've been saying it for the last few weeks, and then there was games postponed, and then they were drawing, and then it didn't matter, and then Dumbarton were winning, but they've actually done it now. So they are 9 points clear with just 6 to play for. So Stirling Albion will be in League 1 next season. Congratulations to them. Dumbarton, you know, they were so far in front earlier on this season, and they've just collapsed of late, even though, you know, they managed to get a positive result on Saturday, but it doesn't really matter now, you know.
Previous results in the last few weeks is what's done then.
Yeah, they beat East Fife 1-0 on Saturday, and there's a big scrap at the bottom of the table as well, is what we like. So Albion Rovers winning 3-1 against Stenhouse Muir on Saturday, which means the gap at the bottom between 10th and 8th is only 2 points. Albion Rovers on 36 points. Elgin City on 37 points and Bonnyrigg Rose on 38. And that is despite the fact that Bonnyrigg won on Saturday as well, beating Forfar, and Elgin City, they lost 3-1 to Stranraer. What a journey home that would have been from Stranraer to Elgin, all 300 odd miles or whatever it is.
It wasn't. It was 548 miles round trip.
Right, so that's 270 odd miles.
Oh, you're close.
Yeah, I wasn't far off, yeah. Have you not learned not to try and take me on when it comes to mileage? Remember when I almost correctly predicted within about 10 miles how far Cyprus was away?
Yeah.
So, like, listen, don't take me on when it comes to mileage. So there you are. So are you still sticking with Albion Rovers to either win the league or finish bottom? Obviously, they can't win the league now. So are they going to finish bottom?
How many miles have I done in my car?
How many miles have you done in your car? I have no idea.
No, you can't beat me when it comes to mileage.
I know where you live, though. How long you had the car?
2017.
Right, okay.
Oh, this will be interesting. Let's see if you can work this out. Right, so 2017, I got the car. And when I got the car, so I'm going to help you here. When I got the car, there was 15,000 miles on the clock.
Right, 15,000 miles. So I reckon...
And also, you know, I don't use it all the time, as you well know.
No, you don't, but you do use it to get to work.
Sometimes use a moist car as well. Right. So again, I'll give you another wee clue.
Right.
Because sometimes I bring the dug in.
2017, that is 6 years ago.
No, but I didn't get in 2017.
When did you get it?
It's a second-hand car.
Right, okay. But so when did you get it then? That's a false bit of information you gave me there.
All right, no, so the car is a 2017 car.
I can give a hoot about that.
And there was 15,000 miles on the clock when I got it.
When did you get it?
And I got it in 2021.
2021?
2020 or 2021, one of the two.
Right, well, it makes quite the difference that year.
What year is it now?
It's 2023.
Yeah, 2 years I've had it.
2 years?
2 years.
Okay, so you've had it for 2 years.
Yeah, and there's 15,000 miles on the clock when I got it.
So you're coming from your home to work. So that, I would say that's about 80 miles a day.
Remember, I've got holidays and Christmas, and I sometimes don't
I'm
use the car.
There. All right. Christ, give me a minute.
Even Chris has got his calculator out for this.
80 to... I'll say 4 times a week. I think you have 29,000 miles in your car.
What do you think, Producer Chris?
Put me down for 31.
31,000.
I mean, you're both very good.
What is it?
It's 35.
That was not bad.
That was actually really good. I'm actually quite impressed. Because I'd have been going like 130,000 miles.
Yeah, that's why you're you and...
You're you.
And me, yeah. Cut my life. Oh, wrong one.
La gente está muy loca. What the fuck?
Okay, time for our weekly look at VAR in Scottish football and WTF. What is going on this weekend? So, lots and lots of stuff to get through. And to go through everything, we have the man himself, Des Roach, former Grade 1 official. How you doing, Des? You okay?
I'm very good, gentlemen. Hope you're well yourself.
Okay, let's get straight to the big one that everyone's talking about the weekend, which is St Johnstone versus Hibs. Jego getting sent off, straight red card. Des, you're a former referee. Looking at that, obviously Hibs have appealed it as well. We'll see what happens with that. They were not happy. What were your thoughts on it, Des?
I've only got one thought on it, and it's not a red card. It's absolutely not a red card. I think Craig Napier has... How would you say it? Has been trigger happy, and the fact that VAR never get involved, where VAR is there for a clear and obvious error, I think he should have had a call in his ear to say, "I think you need to come across." I think Jego's challenge was a controlled challenge. I don't think there was anything that was out toward. And the bit that got me was, I think that's a Graham Shinney hangover from last week. And if they've been told that that's a red card last week, then he's went there. But I don't see the red card challenge there whatsoever.
I actually think, Des, you know, I probably agree with you there. I think they're probably, that's in the back of their mind, the Graham Shinney tackle. But the Graham Shinney tackle was a red card, and that wasn't a red card on Saturday. They were two different challenges.
Yeah, and I agree. The challenge yesterday, there's always going to be a follow-through from a challenge. If you're going at pace and two players are coming together, there's a movement there. But there was nothing malicious within that challenge yesterday. There was nothing there. The Graham Shinney one, and again, you can look at stills, you can see bits and pieces, and it'll make everything look horrendous. But I think the Jego one was really controlled, and I don't see a red card in there whatsoever.
Des, you know I like to have a pop at referees every now and then, but I'm going to play devil's advocate here. So we're all in agreement. I don't think it's a red card, but I also think that the video footage isn't conclusive either. I think both angles are pretty poor to see whether there was any contact made or not. but the referee's about 5 yards away from it. So could you possibly give him the benefit of the doubt and think that he sees something that we don't see in the camera footage?
I think Craig Napier's got the best view of anyone.
So why would you not go with him and what he sees that we don't see?
Because the referee's got a feel for the game. The referee's got a... What's the temperature of the game? What's it going on there? To me, that is an honest and robust challenge. And I can't see anything that Craig can't see. And as much as I don't want to give a referee a hard time, I just can't see that being a red card.
Right, so you think the referee was pissed on Saturday?
I'm not...
Right, so you think he was pissed. Those are my words, but I know what you're getting at here. He was pissed and he made a mistake, and the appeal will be won.
Listen, you can make a mistake. It's not a hanging offence.
No, I know that, but no, I'm not I'm putting any words in your mouth, but you thought it was a shit decision, and the referee got it wrong, and he needs to be hauled over the coals and get his knuckles wrapped, and you think the appeal will be won by Hibs.
Yeah, because he's going to get flogged down the high street.
Can I ask you about the Miofsky goal yesterday? It was a really, really tight decision. It took a while for VAR to get the lines on it. Was that onside or offside for Aberdeen second?
It was a correct decision. It was onside.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was onside. And I see when it's that tight, I actually think you should give the benefit of the doubt to the attacking team anyway.
Yeah, I think you've got to give the benefit of the doubt to the attacking team. But I think what you've got to also give is you've got to give the benefit of the doubt to the officials who got it correct.
Yeah.
It was a correct decision. Miofsky was onside and Aberdeen correctly were rewarded with a correct decision. So all credit to the match officials for that one.
There was a couple of penalty shouts for Aberdeen yesterday as well. Duke as well, brought down in the box by Souter. The ref waved play on. There was no VAR check on that one. And there was also the Johnny Hayes claim for a penalty in the second half after he was tripped by Lundstrom. Any of them, do you think correct decisions? VAR should have been involved in those ones?
No, I think they were the correct decision with the on-field match officials at that time. Yeah, you're going to have contentious debates around it, but no, I don't think there was any much clamour after it for it. I think it was accepted that they were correct decisions.
No bother. Right, Des, thank you very much for joining us on the Big Scottish Football Podcast this morning. I mean, Ewan does put words in your mouth all the time, so I can only apologise for that.
And you're definitely not on the Christmas card list for Craig Napier, that's for sure, because you just called him pish and shit in this podcast.
No, sorry. I think you're not in Napier's Christmas card list.
Right, Des, honestly. I'll let you get back to Danny daycare, all right? So thanks very much for coming on, pal, okay?
No problem at all, gentlemen. Speak to you soon.
Cheers, Des. The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron. Do you know what we forgot to do there?
No.
We should have asked Des what sort of miles he did when he was a referee.
He would have done loads of miles, but they would have got mileage back. I'm sure referees get their mileage. I'm sure that's one of the perks.
So what do you get paid per pence? Per mile?
45 pence, usually.
That's, per mile?
Yeah.
Is that good?
Yes.
But it's 1.53 for diesel just now.
What are we saying here? So I said 15,000 miles and you said it's 30. So you've done about 20,000 miles in your car, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, 20,000, 45 pence for every mile. I mean, that's...
How much is that?
Well, would it not be about 4.5 grand?
9 grand.
9 grand?
Oh.
9 grand,
yeah. What?
9 grand, yeah. 9 grand, yeah.
Oh, well, I wish I hadn't bothered asking that.
Our diesel's quite expensive, mate. Anyway, if Scottish football were an island, thank you for all your suggestions coming in. It was actually quite the task for producer Chris this week because it was buried in amongst all the Aberdeen fans just abusing Ewan. So let's get through some of the best ones here. Alistair Green says, Ewan Stevenson.
Who? Hey.
Louis Stevenson. U.S. Stevenson.
The island of U.S.T.
Aye. If Scottish football were an island.
Does it have to be an Australian island?
U.S.T. isn't an Australian island. U.S.T. is like up there. Ryan Fraser Island, which is in Australia.
Ah, okay.
And Jordan Rhodes.
Rhodes the island.
Rhodes, yeah.
So it's not Scottish islands, it's any island in the world?
Yes.
Did we not say we wanted Scottish islands?
Nope.
Okay.
Backpost says Charlie Mulgrew, Stephen King's Isley. Oh, it doesn't really work. Egil Ostenstad.
Egil Ostenstad. Egg. It's an island called Egg.
What's an island called Egg?
How do you like your eggs?
Well,
what kind of egg do you prefer? Do you prefer boiled? Do you prefer a poached? Do you prefer a fried?
I actually...
Do you prefer scrambled?
I'm a big fan of eggs. I'll take them anyway.
I love an egg and I love an omelette, but how would you prefer
apart
your egg?
Apart from an omelette.
You don't like an omelette?
Don't like omelettes.
With a bit of onion in it, wee bit of chilli?
Nah, no for me.
So if you're having a breakfast, right, and you're in a hotel and you go downstairs to the breakfast buffet and there's scrambled egg and fried egg, what are you taking?
I'll take a fried egg on the basis that I know that the scrambled eggs are probably out of packet because I know somebody who used to work in a hotel and that's how they do the scrambled eggs. Yeah.
So it's a fried egg every time?
It's a fried egg for me because at least I know it's fresh. Craig B, 2022, says, Kevin Eiley. Kevin Kyle Lee.
These are bad.
These are bad. Darren Hodgson, Bora Bora Ballingolly.
Silence says it all. Keep going.
George Burns says Gordon Dura.
Dura's a lovely island.
Terry Butte, sure.
That's not bad. That's all right, George.
Graham McFarlane says Colin Say Hendry.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Till says Puerto Rico Katongo. Eiley Barber.
Eiley Barber, yeah.
Shinsuke Nakajura.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad.
Jura, yeah. It's a nice island.
Neil McKenna.
McKenna?
Canna?
Where's Canna? Where's that?
Inner Hebrides.
So what's on the Outer Hebrides?
Other islands.
Other islands are available. Barra Ferguson from Alan Till as well. Grand Slam Scotty says Juranovic. No.
There's a lot of the same islands popping up here.
Yeah, John Bleasdale said Stephen Millport. I've never been to Millport.
He's an Aberdeen fan, John Bleasdale.
He is, John McCormack says Christoph Bora Bora.
Or Bora Bora Islands,
yeah,
aye.
Yeah. Bally McCoist.
I've never been to Bally.
It looks amazing, though. Ibiza.
Who's that? John McCormack.
Yeah.
I love that.
Mauritius Malpass.
Now they're getting better.
Yes, I like that one. Johnny Mac says Cuba Moravchik.
Uh-huh.
We've got Malter Smith.
That's not bad.
Which is quite good. Kenny Burgess says Salius Mykonos.
Former Hearts player.
Yeah. Cayman Brophy. Not bad.
Yeah.
Matondo says Ailsa Craig Gordon. Ailsa Craig, the wee one off.
I've been there. They used to take us there for school trips when I was a bairn.
Nicky Breslin says Barry McSky.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Moy. Ricky Spence says Love Street Island. Love Island.
See Love Island?
Yeah.
Are they actually on an island? Or is it just where they are, where it's set? They describe their little pad as an island.
No, it's in Mallorca.
So it's actually on the island?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Robbie L says Cameron Magadagascar Vickers.
That's good.
Reagan Charles Cook Islands. Great Jerry Britton.
Uh huh.
He sells Dundonald bluebells down by the seashore. Robin Burnt Island Handy Halliday.
Uh-huh.
Nah, Burnt Island obviously isn't an island either.
I used to go to Burnt Island for the summer, the shows and all that. It was brilliant, the thing you look forward to in the summer. Did you do it as well?
Yeah, aye, they were just along the road.
It's across the Forth Road Bridge, Burnt Island, when I was a wee boy in Edinburgh. It was like the summer highlight.
Totally. Stephen Orkney Smith. No.
Yeah.
Inch Keith Lasley.
I've been to the wee island of Inch.
Cool. Danny Mullen.
Never been to Mull.
Ross, 1874. Lawrence Shankland Ahoy. Fair O, as an O.
Actually, can I just actually pick that one up? Shankland Ahoy. You're on a ship. You only shout that when you're on a ship.
But
you're not on an island.
Yeah. I know, but you could be sick. You could be.
But no, land ahoy. It could be a landlocked country.
It could be.
Well,
it wouldn't be a landlocked country because that you wouldn't be sailing to a landlocked country because that would be mental. You'd be in a car if you are going to a landlocked country on a plane. The whole point in a landlocked country is the fact that you can't sail there on a ship.
Uh huh. All right, okay, right. Do you need to keep going on and on and on? You've made your point. That was a dafty there.
Bass Rocky Bashiri.
Bass Rock. Where's Bass Rock again? Is that the rock that Scotland players used to see when they were training?
No, that's the rock, is it not?
Is that not Bass Rock? No, what's Bass Rock?
Is it not off North Berwick?
Oh, is that where it is?
Yeah.
What's that rock called in Dumbarton where the Scotland players...
Is it not just Dumbarton Rock?
Nah, I think there's another name for it.
Dunfermline were playing Dumbarton a few years ago, and it was freezing. It was in January, and me and my mate, we went to, oh, there was a few of us, we went to, there's a bowling club right next to the ground at Dumbarton.
You're right, right? There is, yes, there is.
So we went there for drinks beforehand, uh-huh. And it got to about 2:45, and we were like, we'd have a better time here. Do you just want to stay here?
And not go to the game?
So three or four of my mates went to the game, and me and my mate stayed, had a couple of more pints, and then we're like, right, we better go to the game. But then they wouldn't let us in. So what we did was we climbed up Dumbarton Rock and watched it for the top of the rock. But we didn't realise that that closed at 4:30. So
can you get it?
We were about locked in because it's all like it's like a castle.
Aye.
So like yeah. It was all walled in, uh-huh. And the guy came in and went absolutely mental.
Is it called Dumbarton Rock?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I think it's just called Dumbarton Rock. Anyway, let's move on. Ross Duncan, Orc Neil Lennon, Ilsa Craig Levine, Charles Greenland, Isle of Craig White, Sean Toogood says David Van Zante. That's quite good. I quite like that one. Shite Sports Opinions, Sean Galapagos, Bally Bollingoli, Greenland Rue Halliday. Nah, I'm not giving you that. And Stephen Hill says Fair Isle Berkovich. What are you going for? What is your favourite, you and Cameron?
John McCormack, Take a Bow. Ibiza.
Ibiza, right, okay, that's fine then. Well done to you. For next week, since it's the World Championships, give us your best suggestions for if Scottish football was the snooker.
Was the snooker, what examples you got for this?
Pot Brown.
Pot Brown.
Kelly Roosevelt. I thought that was very good. The Roosevelt. Q Keevans,
uh-huh.
And Potaudry.
That's actually not bad for examples.
That is actually not bad
very
at all.
Very good.
Right, very quickly, semi-finals this weekend, you and Cameron, no league business. In the Premiership anyway, there's still Championship, League 1 and League 2, but semi-finals, Saturday, 12:15 kick-off, Falkirk versus Inverness, not going to be the biggest crowd in the world. Why have they done it at 12:15 on a Saturday lunchtime? Why couldn't they just make it nice for people?
I know.
Like, just
they don't
it.
Give a toss about the fans. Let's be honest about it.
And you know,
it.
I know the other thing is, should they play at Hampden? Now
they shouldn't.
But for Diddy teams,
they shouldn't.
It's a big thing going to Hampden.
It's called the road to Hampden and the road to Wembley. Mm. They were having this debate on Match of the Day yesterday when they were watching the semi-final between Manchester United and Brighton, and they were all in agreement the semi-final should not be at Wembley Stadium. It should be a one day event. You're going to there. It's a bit like the Champions League final. Do you know what I mean? You're looking forward to going to the Champions League final. We should be playing in Paris or Istanbul. That's what it should be about. And see, when it comes to getting teams, for example, Inverness right now, and the Falkirk fans, you're asking them to come down the road or wherever they're travelling from. It makes for a better game and a better atmosphere if, say, there's only 14,000 fans, you stick them into Tynecastle. You put them in Easter Road. Do you know what I mean? It makes for a better game. I remember there was a League Cup semi-final. I think it was Aberdeen versus, I think it might have been Hibs actually. And they played it at Tynecastle. And it was was it St Johnston? Do you remember a few years ago? Anyway, it was at Tynecastle. What a game. And the atmosphere was bouncing. They've got to look at that because it's not great for Scottish football. I know Hampden need the money and that's why they do it. But I think it's a poor advert for Scottish football when you put on a semi-final that'll have 14,000 fans at it in a 52,000-seater stadium.
I also
think that Scotland friendlies should be moved around the country as well. How many times have we turned up for a Scotland friendly and there's 12,000 fans there? It's a joke and it's embarrassing. So I think we need to look at the bigger picture and what's best for the game.
I think that a compromise to that is just have it at a good kickoff time so that Inverness fans don't need to leave at 5:00.
I know, I agree with that. You're 100% right, but I don't think it's going to add that much more onto the gate. I still think you get less than 20,000 turn up to a 52,000 seater stadium.
Well, I mean, that's obviously because Inverness and, you know,
that's what I'm saying.
More so Inverness aren't as big a side as Falkirk.
But I'm not having a pop at them. That's the size of their support and that's fine. That's why I think they should move it to a smaller ground to make it a better game and a better atmosphere.
So what happens on this occasion when Celtic play Rangers in the semi-final? Where do they have that at Hampden?
You'd have to have that at Hampden. There has to be an exception to the rule. Or you could look at putting it at Murrayfield.
And then you've got Celtic and Rangers fans having to travel through to Edinburgh for a match. when they could just have it in Glasgow.
Well, I did just say you could make that an exception to the rule. You probably would have the semi-final if it's Celtic versus Rangers there.
Is that not just pandering to Celtic and Rangers just because they're Celtic and Rangers?
But look at the size of their support. What else? What do you want to do? Send them to Tynecastle for 18,000 fans?
No, that'd be stupid.
Well, of course it would be, right? Yeah. But you're just trying.
So you're saying don't use.
You're arguing for the sake of arguing. You're trying to twist things that I'm saying.
I'm absolutely not. I'm totally not.
Are you telling me that the Falkirk Inverness game on Saturday should be at Hampden?
I think there's arguments for and against it.
Well, I'm not asking. Well, clearly that's the point we're making here. But I'm asking for your opinion.
I think there's something special about going to Hampden. And if you're a smaller team who don't get to go there very often, like Falkirk and Inverness are, you're depriving the supporters
and the players actually. Screw the players. It's not about them, it's about the fans.
But it's also both of them.
See, what's for me the key thing?
Just have it at a good kickoff time.
See, for a game of football.
Do you know
what
they could have done? They could since Man City and Sheffield United kicked off at 4:45 on Saturday, and this blackout doesn't actually exist on a Saturday afternoon anymore, unless you're the FA Cup. Why didn't they just have it on the telly at 3:00 on Saturday? Because obviously it doesn't matter anymore.
The most important part of a football match is the fans. And the 12 or 15 kickoff time is ridiculous, and it is not helping the fans in any way whatsoever. The second point I'm going to make here is that fans make the game. The atmosphere makes the game. And when you've got 14,000, 15,000 fans rattling about a 52,000-seater stadium, ain't doing the players any good, and it's a poor fan experience. Hampden's bad enough as it is when it's full. When there's 15,000 people rattling around in it, it's an even worse experience. I've been there on nights when Scotland have played in front of 12,000 fans. There's nothing worse.
Dunfermline played Hibs in the semi-final in 2007, and it was when there was still semi-final replays. The first game was 0-0. It was a Sunday, I think. I think it was a 3:00 kickoff. Wasn't on the telly. And I think the crowd was something like 30,000 or something like that. Obviously, Hibs brought the majority of the support. But then the replay was midweek, and Dunfermline were in the main stand and Hibs got the north stand, and I think the crowd was something like 9,500. And it was rubbish. But again, because Dunfermline won, it's still a really special night. I'll still think of that as a great memory. So I get your point, but I just think semi-finals need to be at Hampden, or they're not at Hampden, and you can't make any exceptions just because it's Celtic and Rangers.
So we've got the semi-finals this weekend. We've actually got the final this weekend.
I don't know. I think Inverness and Falkirk, I wouldn't say that's the final.
The final for Inverness and Falkirk is just to get to the final to be part of it.
Is it?
Because whoever wins against Rangers and Celtic will obliterate whoever they face in the final, whether it be Falkirk or Inverness. I mean, that's a game I might not even watch because I think it could be embarrassing. So this weekend, there are two finals, because whoever wins with Celtic and Rangers will go on to win the Scottish Cup comfortably.
Do you want to get obliterated in the Scottish Cup final? Like, if I'm a Falkirk fan and we get through the final and we play Celtic and get beat 12-0.
I mean, it could happen.
I mean, from a Dunfermline fan's point of view, oh my God, that would be amazing. I mean, it's almost worth Falkirk getting to the final for that.
Do you know what? You could well be right. I mean, I would not put it against
amazing
Celtic getting 6, 7, 8, 9 against Falkirk if they got to the final.
Oh, music to my ears. Right, so who's going to win? What is going to be the final?
I'd love Falkirk to get there, just for our boss, Victoria, and also producer John Mack, who's a Falkirk fan, but I just don't see it. I think Inverness are playing really well just now.
I think Inverness will win as well.
So I think it'll be Inverness, and then it's a toss or coin between Rangers and Celtic.
Is it though?
I think it is. I think
let's be honest, Michael Beale hasn't had one big result yet.
No, but I think it's a toss of a coin, just because Rangers know this is their last chance to stop Celtic.
All the pressure's on Rangers,
but Celtic are going to be favourites, and rightly so.
Okay, okay. That's you and Cameron. Don't blame me, blame him. This has been the Big Scottish Football Podcast with me, Stephen Mill, and him, Ewan Cameron. Thanks very much for joining us this week again. We'll be back with episode 40 next week. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on whichever podcast provider you use so you don't miss one, and leave us a 5-star review as always as well. Keep an eye on our socials for if Scottish football were the snooker, and get your tweets in, and we'll be back next week at the usual time for another brand new episode of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Cheerie bye.